Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer or the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Hello, Melissa. Good to be back with you.
Always. As always.
Yeah, we have a great guest today.
Listen, I know I'm getting, I know I'm saying this a lot here lately. There's a common theme, but this is another one that makes CompStat very easy for me.
Yes, definitely.
You want to tell everybody who you are and what you do for the department?
Yes, so I'm Maria Talk, and I'm currently assigned to Central Precinct Investigations Unit.
Central Precinct Investigations
Unit. Yeah, that's the theme lately as folks from Central Precinct are coming to visit us.
Listen.
And you happen to be in Central Precinct. It's coincidence? Maybe. Who knows? So, Maria, where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from Vienna in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Grew up there, went to high school there, and then I actually came down to Newport News for college. I went to CNU. So that's what brought me to the area.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so you attended college here, stayed at the dorms, obviously, because you're a good distance away from Vienna, right?
Yes.
And you enjoyed Newport News?
So, and I think this is actually a concept that is talked about CNU a lot, is CNU is a bubble. It's a wonderful school. It obviously is kind of mixed in with the city, but it's kind of separate. So my exposure to Newport News was not very significant while I was at college, but I loved CNU enough to stay in the area when I was looking for jobs afterward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what were you studying while at CNU?
So I got my bachelor's in science and psychology and a minor in Spanish. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, are you of Spanish descent?
I'm not. So this is actually just of happenstance. I went to a combined elementary and middle school, and they required that you actually take Spanish classes there. We didn't have another language option, and it wasn't optional. You were required to take Spanish from kindergarten up. So I learned Spanish from first to eighth grade when I went to high school. You know, you have to take a lesson, a language, and I said, well, I've gone this far, I'm going to keep going, you know? So I got through to the advanced placement Spanish in senior year, took the AP test, and got a sufficient score that I was able to carry credit with me into college. Mm-hmm. So I was actually about halfway through a minor anyway by the time I started college. So when I got there, I figured I'd just continue it. I've been able to build this foundation so far, and it would be a loss to me to let that kind of fade away.
Sure. And do you find yourself speaking Spanish sometimes at work?
Yes. I'm now thankful that, you know, that I've got a coworker who speaks Spanish, so that's but especially in patrol, I've been in Central Precinct my whole career, and when I was in patrol for about half of my patrol career, I was in District 24, which does have a significantly higher Spanish speaking population. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're responding to calls, you may have a language line option, you may have a coworker who speaks Spanish, but sometimes it's just you. And so that I would have opportunities out of necessity, really, to practice my Spanish in patrol and still in investigations as well.
Wow. And do you practice with your coworker at times?
No.
You do not.
I you know, a little self-conscious about it. Got a very American accent, so I speak it out of necessity.
Right. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't necessarily look at law enforcement as a career. You were thinking about moving forward with another degree, correct?
Yes. So I had in college, I started off, you know, CNU is a really great medical or partnership with EVMS for their medical school. I thought about that and then quickly realized that I just don't have that like dog-eat-dog kind of personality that was required for medical school. So I shifted into social work for about half a year, and then I was like, that's not for me either. And then I shifted into psychology. I just really, I want to understand people and I want to be able to connect with them. I want people to feel heard and to feel like they can see like the solutions for themselves. So I was actually, by the time I got to my senior year, I was looking at going to grad school for clinical psychology. And then as a college student tends to be, I honestly kind of procrastinated on the steps that are required for grad school. I didn't take the GRE and I was like, oh, I need that. And I'm about to graduate. So for me, it was looking for an interim job, really, following college. And I thought that policing was a job where I could still do what I valued in my psychology courses, what I wanted to do. I could connect with people. could help them. And even if it wasn't like with the exact problem, whatever they were dealing with emotionally, like whatever, you know, if you have like a domestic situation where it's a boyfriend or girlfriend, and it just may not be like an assault or something, but it's just like, hey, we're always, it was a verbal altercation, you know, and it's just been like this every single day, we're always going at it. And there are obviously emotions that come from that, you know, so being able to talk to them, not just about the reason that I'm there, the domestic situation, but also, hey, like, what's going on around that, what's stemming from it, what's resulting from it, that was something that really appealed to me. And then, of course, I value like a physical, you know, fitness and being active, and I thought that policing could provide opportunities for that for me as well. So I really, that's what geared me toward policing. It was not something that I thought of really before college, before my senior year of college.
So you're putting your degree to good use.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, that's great.
Even in investigations, you know, it's, I don't get the, in patrol you get a wide range of calls for service, so you really do get to see people in very different emotional states. In investigations, I deal with primarily property crime, so I do still work with victims of crimes, and I get to kind of try to connect with them and work with them through what they're dealing with. But for me, I think a new opportunity to apply those skills from psychology or that interest in understanding people is actually working with the offenders or the suspects. We have much more intensive interviews of suspects of crimes now in investigations, so it's just another opportunity for me to put those things into practice. I have to understand this person and be able to connect with them because I want information from them. So they have to be able to either give me that information willingly, or I have to be able to understand what they're giving me unintentionally. So it's been a really, it's challenging, but it's been a really, really cool to learn that too.
It's a completely different aspect when you're coming at it in that. Yeah, I totally get it. I do. That's why my cases get solved.
Right.
That's why my cases get solved. Wow. So what year on is this for you?
So this is my sixth year. In January, it'll be 7 years. Wow. I know it blows by. Really. I keep thinking back to when I was been here for, you know, a year, you know, 2 years. And the next thing you know, it's this long. It's it moves.
And when you were shopping departments, how did that go? Like, I know you said you guys were kind of in a bubble over in CNU off of Warwick Boulevard. It's kind of its own little shape of the part of the city. But how'd you land on Newport News?
Yeah, so at the time, following college, I moved to Virginia Beach. So I still had that connection to Newport News because I had spent, you know, 4 years of my life there. But I applied to Virginia Beach and Newport News, their police departments. And the Newport News process, it just kind of moved along a little bit more quickly, and I was very lucky to have a great investigator assigned to my application, Linda Gaddis, just a very kind person, very genuine, very transparent with me about the process, right. Didn't try to oversell me, and really just was there for me. She really, you know, was in my corner throughout that process. So that really was like the tipping point for me about choosing Newport News and just committing fully. I didn't even complete the application in Virginia Beach.
How important that first step is, you know, and it seems like you're not the first one who sat here and said that. Right. It seems like that's a very important part.
It is.
And our recruiting division is knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, there's a saying when you walk through the doors of recruiting and it says it all starts here, mm-hmm. right? It's posted right on the door. Couldn't be more true.
Oh, I agree.
Couldn't be truer. It all starts right there. And we have one of the finest recruiting departments, or I should say units, I'm sorry, I think on the East Coast for sure. Mm. They're straight up with you. I mean, like you said, they're transparent. If there's something you got going on that's going to stop you from, they're going to let you know up mm-hmm. front. They're not going to allow you to waste time.
Right. Yeah.
But if you are a candidate who we look at as benefiting our agency into, we're going to push you, we're going to move you forward, right? And right. we're going to go at a good speed, right? Because we've got to. Everyone's competing for the same personnel, so we've got to make sure we do it right. And Newport News does. At the risk of sounding pompous, Newport News PD does that. So let me ask you this. How did your FTO process go, right? FTO is field training officer. How'd you enjoy the academy? What did it leave you with some lasting impressions?
Yeah, so again, coming from college, I didn't really have a lot of job experience coming into this, and certainly not like this. You know, an academy, field training, policing, there are jobs that can prepare you for it, but not many. Right. So the academy for me, I think I was benefited by the fact that I had just finished with schooling. So it was like I'm back in a schooling environment with some, you know, extra twists, like physical fitness, which I loved. I really appreciated that. We had a really great defensive tactics and fitness program in my academy. So, for me, I think it was really awesome to learn about and be exposed to, grow from, be challenged by, was the teamwork required. You know, you are, and for my class, it was about 28 people that we started with. You know, you have an opportunity there to work as a team as much as you can. I know we all have, cliques always form, groups among the group form, but you're all going through something difficult together. So as an individual, you have the opportunity to be a leader and be a teammate. And as a group, you have the opportunity to be teammates. Otherwise, you're just a group of individuals getting through this hard thing together, you know? So for me, that was really an incredible experience, was developing that. And it was not an easy road. It's still not an easy road to develop leadership and as a teammate. But that was really where I got my biggest first exposure to that, was in the academy. And just learning so much, being exposed to different instructors, you know, you start to get an idea, if you're looking for it, about what kind of officer that you want to be, what kind of person that you want to be. You know, you pick people, and if you look at them as archetypes, you're like, well, I want to be this kind of officer. I was lucky at the time, I had now Sergeant O'Berry is my class coordinator, and he was the first exposure that I think I really had to this this proficient officer, not just someone who had kind of tunneled themselves into a certain, just, I'm really good at this one thing, I only care about this one thing, but just being, I'll say, a jack of all or most trades, right? Mm-hmm. That's when I really realized that what I want to be is just an officer who's proficient in as many things as I can be. May not be an expert in all of them, right? But if I can just hit proficiency in as many things as possible, that's what I'd like to aim for. Right. So, and then FTO, I think I was very lucky as well. I was the last class to benefit from the 3 FTO system. Now, of course, pros and cons to whatever system we have, but right. What I loved about that system and why I support it is that you get to benefit from and are exposed to multiple types of officers. Really beneficial if you have one who's really big on violent crime investigations, and you have another one who's big on traffic enforcement, and you can kind of pick and choose, and you can develop yourself with these 3 different types of role models, really. So I had great FTOs. Now Sergeant Sadler was my first FTO. Challenging, but very gracious with me. You know, he wasn't, we learned from each other, I would say. Sure. I think that was a big factor in all 3 of my FTO experiences. Eric Carter, Master Police Officer Eric Carter, was my second, and it was an incredible experience with him. He really taught me, you know, you can always learn, and you can always be patient. We would have great conversations because he'd tell me something or we'd be exposed to something, and I wanted to know the why behind how that happened, or the why behind the answer he gave, and he was always willing to talk me through it. And if he didn't know, he would admit he didn't know, and we'd find out the answer together. And that's something that I think I've carried with me.
Wow.
Now, you know, is this concept of you should always be trying to learn. Never think that you know everything, you know?
Right.
And then Ashawn Lucas was my last FTO, and he's just a very proficient, very cool guy, you know? So they're just really getting better at that, like, that officer presence. I got that from him.
Right.
So great.
Lucas. Wow. So Central Precinct, mm-hmm. investigations. What else do you do? Because there is a long list of things that you're involved in. Give us some of those things.
So, I've been, I will say, in my opinion, the biggest blessing I've gotten through this job is learning that I love to teach. When I first got here, it wasn't even on my radar. And as I became an officer on the street, I was like, that doesn't really interest me. Training or teaching doesn't really interest me. But it was actually through like one-on-one interactions with other officers, you know, when just someone has a question for you and you're like, oh, I know the answer. And those little one-on-ones actually were what made me think, hey, I might actually like teaching. So I went to the general instructor school in 2021, and it was just off from there, you know. I found quickly, or confirmed quickly, that I really do love to teach. Was able to get my TASER instructorship in 2022, and then firearms in 2024, and then DUI instructor in the beginning of this year, I believe, January 2025. I love teaching. I think that it's obviously you have the chance to really impact other people's understanding of materials and the betterment of themselves, but also you learn. Every time I work with the class or I help other instructors, I learn from them. I learn little tools they have or ways that they do things, and it makes me better. So, you know, it's just an incredible experience, I think, to teach. And I'm lucky, shout out to my sergeant, to my supervision in Central, that I get to do it pretty often. I'm very blessed for that.
And you have other duties that you also have, correct, other than teaching?
Yes.
One in particular is our tactical operations unit.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the other duties you have.
So TOU, Tactical Operations Unit, is something that I actually wanted to do. It was one of my goals in the academy. I had two goals. One was to make Master Police Officer, and the other one was to make it on the Tactical Operations Unit. And for me, I think that TOU is just a culmination or like a manifestation of a lot of really incredible things that we can aspire to as police officers. It's a physically demanding role. It's mentally demanding. And it really requires you to apply a lot of the knowledge that we acquire as police officers, the tactical knowledge, situational awareness, shooting skills, other weapon systems, even just interacting with people, you know? I mean, that's the baseline of it. Before we talk about any kind of weapon systems, is being able to communicate with people and work with them that way. So for me, it was something that was very foreign to me. But I knew that it seemed challenging, and I wanted to work toward it. So I was lucky enough to make the team in 2023, go through the basic SWAT school then. And so I've been on for about, I just hit 2 years, actually.
And what position do you hold on the team?
So just an operator on the team at this point. I am hoping to really get more exposure to specialized positions on the team. But for me, and just like in patrol, I think it's really important to get the basics right. And if you try to specialize before then you're kind of working with a faulty foundation. So for me, it's really important to get the foundation right first before pursuing other things.
Right.
Fundamentals are important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're also currently serve as one of our many liaisons. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So in about 2024, the city revitalized their LGBT liaison program, and the department provides several liaisons to the city, and I'm one of about four liaisons, and the role just really entails, it's kind of twofold. It's working as a liaison for the interests of officers in that regard, but also for the community, which I think is really the more important one, honestly. You know, historically, the relationship between police and the LGBT community has not always been great. So I think it's important that we can show people in that community that, hey, you can be comfortable coming to the police. You can be comfortable becoming a police officer. Those aren't roads that are closed off to you. So I think that communication or that relationship between the community and the department is so important.
Right. And I'll tell you, you strike me as somebody who absolutely loves coming to work every day. Am I right?
I think there's something to love about coming to work every day. There's something to love every day.
Yes. And I think the fact that you diversified your career, if you will, mm-hmm. right, has really helped you, has really helped that love grow. Because you're not just putting the widget inside of the cup, if you will. You do so many different things. Is that key for your longevity, do you think?
I think so. I just don't want to settle and pigeonhole myself. I think it just goes back to always wanting to learn and be better. And of course, the more you get exposed to, and that could mean different cases that you get assigned, different investigations that you work, but it could also mean different roles. The mental challenge is always there. You know, you're always stimulated when you have, and the more things that you have stimulate you, the better. So I just appreciate the ability that this department offers, or the opportunities that this department offers to diversify like that. Not a lot of jobs have that, I think.
Right.
But, you know, I get to work different kinds of investigations, be exposed to them. I get paid for it, you know. Right. I get to work out and train with TOU and obviously with, like, in-service and stuff, and I get paid for it, you know. Right. I get to go to training outside the department, and I get to be certified as instructor in different disciplines, and I get paid for that. So that's really, it's just a blessing to me.
Right. So staying so busy, what do you do to relax and unwind?
So I love to be active, hiking, being outdoors, going to the gym, and traveling when I can, even if it's just locally, especially with my fiance, just seeing the world. We love to try food from different places, so that's a big thing for us. It can even be something local, you know, just going to a new food place in Hampton Roads or elsewhere. So just trying to find the adventure in little things, especially, like you said, it can be busy sometimes. We all know that. So sometimes it isn't some grand thing like a 2-week cruise, you know.
Right.
But if you can just make an adventure out of something small, you know, you can still find a way to unwind and relax.
Right. I think that's fantastic. Wow. Matt, how are we doing on time? Because I'm going to get lost. I'm having a great time. How are we doing on time?
We're doing well. In fact, you know, one of the really small roles that Detective Tox had in recent years, which I thank her for a lot, is, you know, she's also a very good spokesperson on camera, as we're finding out today. back when we did some crime line videos pretty regularly, she was one of my go-tos officers.
Right.
For that, because she, you know, we can call her one take talk. You know, she's
She knocked him out pretty quick.
That's impressive. Yeah. How'd you like doing that stuff?
So it's interesting. The first one I ever did, I believe I was still on patrol, and Detective Trong, now retired Detective Trong, had asked for my help. And I am not a big public speaker. I think this job has really helped me develop that skill, you know, talking to people. But it's not really my forte. So when he asked me, I didn't want to say no, because he's
strong. Right. You can't say no to Trong.
So I said yes, and you know, I'll tell Matt every, even now, if I were to do it tomorrow, I would still get those clammy hands, get nervous. But it is, I think, being or confronting that fear, those nerves, sure, is a good thing. Yes. Right? You should make ourselves uncomfortable. So I'm actually just really grateful for the opportunity to do that.
Right.
And I can't say no to him either now, so.
Right. You
can't.
And now you find yourself standing before tens and tens and tens of people lecturing and speaking and teaching and all that, and it feels natural.
Yes, and that, you know, it was definitely an adjustment. Again, those nerves are still there sometimes, but I'm just, again, a firm believer that you just got to make yourself uncomfortable to get better. And when I love teaching as much as I do, that does tend to kind of mitigate the nerves, you know, because I'm just really good, focused on what I'm talking about.
Passionate.
Yeah, and all three of us teach, and I even after all the years that I taught, I still got those butterflies, you know, the proverbial butterflies, if you will, right before I taught. But in 2 minutes, they kind of subside, because you realize to yourself, okay, I got this. We're good. We're good. We're going to be all right here. And not only that, but when you see the students' faces when they get something, right? There's a joy that comes, as an instructor, there's a joy that comes with that. Wow, they're getting it. And then when they go out and apply it, and they later come back and said, you know what? That really works. I mean, it's thrilling for me. As teaching is boring to some folks. That's fine. You do your thing, I'll do mine. But for me, it's thrilling.
It is.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the rapid fire questions. Is that correct, Matt? But listen, before we do that, I got to say something for the record, because I've known you since you were in the academy. Is that correct?
Yes. Right?
We met in the academy. I have to tell you, from shortly after we met, and I'm say this for the record, I don't do this all the time, but I knew there was something special about you. The way that you wore your uniform so professionally, the way that you carried yourself in the academy, the respect that you gave not only the instructors, but your fellow students and everyone that you came in contact with, and then later seeing you go to our high impact patrol unit, and how hard you worked, and how good you were with people, how well you communicated with them, and you treated them with such dignity and respect. And then our conversations on leadership, you know, moving up, doing things differently, expanding, you know, what you do on this agency to grow. Always impressed with you. Always impressed with you. And you have no idea how much joy it gives me to see people like you, and there are others on the police department, grow and become what you never thought, was even on your radar you could accomplish, right? That's the beauty of this job. When I got hired, I knew nothing about law enforcement. When Melissa got hired, she knew nothing about law enforcement. We three are here today on a podcast talking about law enforcement. That's the beauty of this department. And not only that, but having people on this agency that recognize that in you and putting you in those schools and things to develop you.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Would you agree?
I would. You know, I would say that I've been fortunate to have a lot of mentors. And the thing about a mentor is they don't have to have a massive role in your life. You know, they can even just be fleeting. You have been and were one of them. Even just in our quick interactions, when you take the time to talk to me, give me, you know, little resources about leadership. I mean, those meant a lot. And it just really reflected to me that you don't have to be this omnipresent role in someone's life to impact them for the better. And you did that for me. So I really appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. And I'm so proud of you, Maria. I'm so, so proud of you.
Thank
you. I wanted to say that for the record. And it's recorded.
And it's recorded.
It's recorded. So let's go into the rapid fire, shall we, Melissa?
Yes, let's do that. All right. Rapid fire question number one. Favorite current band or music artist?
Oh.
Too many?
We talked about football earlier. I'm not a big like one artist person, but I have to say, been enjoying Mariah the Scientist recently. A bit more of a R&B slower feel. I have to thank my fiance for that influence to my music taste, because I'm a big folk person, but it's expanded.
Really?
Yes.
What's the name of the band?
It's Mariah the Scientist. She's a singer. Yeah, just.
I should check it out.
Chill, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to expand my horizons.
Agreed.
Okay. Sound good. Interesting. Melissa, you are more genre versus artist, right?
So I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
You know that.
Eclectic.
I think right now, Cardi B has me in a chokehold. She does.
Yeah.
She just dropped an album, Am I the Problem? And it is just, it has taken
me. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
What are you listening to right now?
Oh, man. I got Sirius Radio. I've ended up paying for it.
I'm
forking out the bucks for it.
Yeah.
And I got a whole bunch of favorites. I got the Groove Channel. I got even Ozzy Osbourne's channel.
Yeah.
I'm doing it all. Yeah. Love music. So, all right. Question number two. What is a movie you've seen way too many times, but still watch when it comes on?
Okay. I do have an answer prepared for this one.
Okay.
So my favorite movie of all time is Robots. And I think sounds like you may know the movie. Yeah. It's an animated movie from like the mid-2000s. Great cast. Robin Williams is in it. I mean, absolutely incredible job he does. But it's just, I think, an underrated comedy. My brothers and I, my fiance and I, we quote that movie all the time. I mean, and to this day, I have it on DVD, and I'll never get tired of it. It's a great movie.
Okay. Yeah, I know what my favorite movie is.
What is it? Come on.
Oh, Dances with Wolves. Mm. Yeah, you know it. I mean,
it's Kevin Costner. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
No,
with
he's
Kevin
a great
Costner.
Actor. Yeah, I'd watch it every time it comes on. I watch it, and secretly sometimes I'll record it and watch it later on. I mean, it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
In the days of streaming, we're recording. All right, I gotcha.
All right, question number three. Here we go.
All right. Okay. Favorite childhood game or toy?
Favorite childhood game or toy? Okay, I'd have to say Legos. I just have to. We were a big Lego family growing up, and I used to just spend hours making floor plans. I thought I would be like an interior designer someday with what I was doing, you know? I had those sheet Legos and would just build floor plans and then just take them apart, do them again, so.
Wow, Legos.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating. I mean, you did not become an architect.
No, I did not.
It's not too late. Not too late. Question number four. Oh, this is a great one. Windows down or AC blasting?
So I'd say AC,
Okay.
And I do like having the windows down. However, I've got two cowlicks, so I really can't afford my hair to get messed up too much. Because once it gets messed up, it's not going back.
That's that is great.
I was not ready to take cowlick on the show. I love that.
I love the AC blasting. Yeah. And I will tell you, even in the winter sometimes, I'll pump the air on.
Oh my gosh.
Because we wear a lot of clothing, you know. Anyway, I mean, not necessarily exterior-wise, but long johns and everything, because we got to stay warm during the winter, right? And police work. But so sometimes it gets a little warm, so I'll blast that sucker right there in the car. So, yep. For me, it's AC blasting. Mm-hmm. You as well, Melissa?
So I think it depends.
Oh.
So, and my mom yells at me about this all the time, but having like the windows up in the house, and she'll be like, Melissa, it is literally 12 o'clock at night. Why are your windows still open? She just got me. And I'm trying to get that last little bit of fall and the little bit of, you know, breeze that comes through. But if you catch me in the middle of the summertime, it is AC blasting. So it really just kind of depends.
Long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, last one. What is the weirdest food combination that you swear is good?
Okay. Well, I probably have to say, cottage cheese fans. Do you like cottage cheese?
Not so much.
I can't.
Okay. And that, I hear that a lot. So if my dad watches this, he'll be proud because I got this from him. But okay. Cottage cheese on top of any kind of pasta with like a meat sauce or a red sauce, it just the combination of flavors, I think, tastes great. Yeah.
Huh. So is it almost like putting ricotta on your cheese? I mean, on the pasta?
Yeah, exactly.
Except for cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. So it makes it creamy, if you will?
Yep. And I think, and you know, the texture, I get that. But if you have like a meat sauce, it's already kind of got some of those pieces in there. You barely notice it. So I recommend that to anybody. And people usually have that response. They're like, that sounds disgusting.
No.
I see in your face. You're like, I'm not at the texture.
I think you got me with the ricotta. And then it's just kind of similar. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see you.
Yeah. Do you have a combination of foods that you... not so much? For me, I'll tell you what
I'm weird about.
Can't believe I'm going to actually say this, but you toast, right? Mm-hmm. When it's warm, you put a nice slice of sharp cheddar cheese and peanut butter.
That actually sounds very intriguing.
Yeah.
I'm open to it.
You might have to give it a shot. Yeah, it's...
the podcast is over.
That's right. Full confession. Yeah. It has to be sharp or extra sharp, even better, by the way.
Right. Now, this might be the deal breaker. Is it crunchy peanut butter or
smooth? No, it has to be smooth.
Okay. Then we're still on the same page.
Yeah, that's a whole different universe you're talking about.
I can't condone that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't. I think you broke Melissa today.
Yeah, that's right. We broke the internet. We broke the internet. It's been a pleasure seeing you, Marie. It's been a while.
It has.
It's been an absolute while. Yeah. And y'all work together, so see each other all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Yeah. So by the way, how was it? Was it okay coming here today?
Yes.
It wasn't bad, was it?
No. No.
Wasn't bad at all.
I think the adrenaline really powered me. I'm going to probably crash in a couple of minutes.
Need a nap before you come back to the office. I'll give it to you. Yeah. I get it.
Absolutely.
Get
Thanks it. Again. And we're on different platforms. You can see us on a bunch of different social media, right?
YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. We're everywhere. Like us, friend us, leave us comments.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for following us. We sure do appreciate it. Cheers.